This morning, I would like to talk about another basic that we should all be aware of, and that is our eternal security. Constitutions are important. It tells us much about a nation's roots. For instance, the 1643 Constitution of the New England Confederation tells us much about America's Christian roots. Whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. Similarly, the Constitution of Heritage Baptist Church can reveal much about the church's beliefs. Article 6L of the Constitution of Heritage Baptist Church reads, "The security and perseverance of the saints. We believe that all who are truly born again are eternally secure, since they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and are kept by the power of God unto salvation, that such only are true believers as endure unto the end, and their persevering attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from superficial professors." What exactly is eternal security? Is there a difference between the eternal security of the saints and the perseverance of the saints? Isn't the perseverance of the saints a tenet of Reformed or Calvinistic theology? What about endure unto the end? To answer this and other questions, we must first look at the eternal security of the believer. The eternal security of the believer is in contrast to the teaching of many who say that a child of God can actually lose his salvation. Roman numeral 1. Biblical reasons for eternal security. Biblical reasons for eternal security. I was helped in understanding the biblical reasons for the eternal security of the believer from Robert Sargent's Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine. According to Sargent, the believer is absolutely assured of eternal security in three main areas. The believer is eternally secure due to, letter A, God's nature. God's nature. Number one, His omniscience. His omniscience. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many." So God foreknew who would be saved. He knew that long ago, who would accept Christ and who would not. Now, if God foreknew who would be saved, how is it possible for the saved to be lost again at a later date? Number two, His omnipotence. His omnipotence. As Article 6L of our Constitution says, all who are truly born again are eternally secure, since they are kept by the power of God unto salvation. And look at all these verses quoted by Sargent. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. He is able to keep. Jude verse 24. Him that is able to keep you. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He which has begun will perform it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, He is able to save them to the uttermost. Number 3, His justice. His justice. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And the reason why there is now no condemnation is because our sins have been paid for. To pay for them again, when one is lost again at a later date, would make a mockery of the justice of God. Not only is the believer eternally secure due to God's nature, he is eternally secure due to letter B, salvation's nature. Salvation's nature. And number one, as I've said 3 weeks ago, it is a birth. It is a birth. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." If a man is born again, how can the new birth conversion be reversed? As Sargent puts it so succinctly, is it possible to be unborn again? Number two, it is a gift. It is a gift. Read for yourselves Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9 and Romans chapter 6 verse 23. The point is this. If it is possible for the saved to be lost again at a later date, if the gift of salvation can be taken back, it is not a gift anymore. Number three, it is a satisfaction. It is a satisfaction. John chapter 4 verse 14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." John chapter 6 verse 35 says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Notice the words, "shall never thirst," "shall never hunger," "shall never thirst." Never. Not at any time. It is impossible for the saved to be lost again at a later date. And number four, it is everlasting. It is everlasting. You see, if it is possible for the saved to be lost again at a later date, then John chapter 3 verse 60 would have to say, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have probational, everlasting life." But that is not what the verse says. Number five, it is an inner change. Salvation is an inner change. We are all very familiar with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." How is the man a new creature? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." Partakers of the divine nature. Sargent's reasoning goes like this. Just as the sinner cannot change his sinful nature, so the saint cannot change his divine nature. And lastly, number six, it is a completion. It is a completion. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And ye are complete in him, in Christ. In regard to our eternal salvation, we are complete in him. The completion in Christ renders it not possible for us to be lost again at a later date. The believer is eternally secure due to God's nature. The believer is eternally secure due to salvation's nature. The believer is eternally secure due to, letter C, God's promise. God's promise. And the promise I'm talking about is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. We see a similar thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. As I've explained 3 weeks ago, this is a seal of assurance which is granted to every believer at the time of their conversion. The seal is the earnest, the deposit, the pledge, the foretaste of the believer's future inheritance. And notice that the sealing is till the day of redemption. That is the day of resurrection, when our body shall be redeemed. It is till the day of redemption, not till the day ye are lost again. Article 6L of our Constitution puts it this way: all who are truly born again are eternally secure, since they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The question that naturally arises is what the words perseverance of the saints and their persevering attachment to Christ in the same constitution article mean. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, biblical perseverance and eternal security. Biblical perseverance and eternal security. What do the words perseverance of the saints and their persevering attachment to Christ in Article 6L of our Constitution mean? David Cloud has written something which I believe could be used to explain those words. He writes, "Does the doctrine of eternal security cause people to live carelessly? The Bible teaches that the grace of God motivates believers to serve God with a thankful heart." Romans chapter 2 verse 4, Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 19. The more a believer understands the unfathomable love that God has for him in Christ, the more he wants to please God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. Let's look at the two passages that Cloud has quoted. Romans chapter 2 verse 4 tells us that the grace of God motivates believers to serve God with a thankful heart. Paul says, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 17 to 19 tells us about the unfathomable love that God has for the believer. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." And the more a believer understands the unfathomable love that God has for him in Christ, the more he wants to please Christ and to please God. Hence, the eternal security of the saints in our Constitution article is consistent with the words, the perseverance of the saints and their persevering attachment to Christ in the same article. The saint is eternally secure. At the same time, the grace of God motivates the saint to serve God, and he wants to please God. There is no inconsistency here. The perseverance of the saints here is about the saints being motivated by the grace of God to serve Him and wanting to please Him. What about the clause in the same constitution article that such only are true believers as endure unto the end? Doesn't this suggest a faith in Christ that is conditional, which requires enduring unto the end? The short answer is that, as Sargent also notes, in Christ we do endure to the end. John chapter 10 verses 28 to 29 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In Christ we do endure to the end. The Word of God declares that if we are in Christ, we are kept by the power of God. We endure to the end. Read Romans chapter 8 for yourself too. At the same time, we must bear in mind that the words "endureth to the end" in Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 relates to deliverance from physical death, not the matter of eternal salvation. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 says, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." When we read the word "saved," our minds tend to jump straight to the concept of eternal salvation from sin and death. But this is not always correct. Salvation in the Bible could also mean salvation from physical death. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 could cause you to wonder whether it might be possible to lose your eternal salvation if you do not endure to the end, keeping the faith till death. But if you look at the context, this is not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about physical death in the context of intense persecution, not spiritual death. It may be clearer if you read the word "saved" in the verse as "delivered." The same reasoning can be extended to Matthew chapter 24 verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." The same shall be delivered from physical death. There is no inconsistency between eternal security and biblical perseverance. The huge difference is between the eternal security of the saints and the Reformed or Calvinistic notion of the perseverance of the saints. Roman numeral 3. Calvinistic perseverance versus eternal security. Calvinistic perseverance versus eternal security. The Reformed or Calvinistic notion of the perseverance of the saints seems to suggest that the saints must maintain their salvation by their own perseverance. It seems to say that the fulfillment of their salvation is based on their own perseverance, that men must persevere by themselves to be assured of heaven. According to the teaching of Reformed theology, we are kept by our own perseverance. Let us appreciate the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and recognize that we may entertain the faith of our security in Christ only as we persevere in faith and holiness to the end. John Murray, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, 2015, page 164. John M. Ortiz expressed this teaching in the following words: "Maintaining an unforgiving spirit will surely destroy our souls in hell." Who is the genuine Christian? Part 2, the Council of Chalcedon, June 1988, page 20. And Arthur W. Pink holds the same teaching. He writes, "Reader, if there is a reserve in your obedience, you are on the road to hell. Practical Christianity, 2009, page 16. But you see, no one has ever lived in full obedience to God's commands. If you believe you have, or you believe you know someone else who has, then you have confused between them or yourself and Christ. Christ is the only person ever that has lived in full obedience. Philip F. Congdon seems to be concluding what the earlier three Reformed authors were saying when he writes, absolute assurance of salvation is impossible in classical Calvinism. Soteriological Implications of 5-Point Calvinism, Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, Autumn 1995, page 62. You can find the same quotes in Pastor Crocker's notes on examining the teachings of Calvinism found on our website too. Check them out. Our eternal salvation has nothing to do with our behavior. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 to 8 says that the Lord Jesus will confirm us unto the end. We do not have to be kept by our own perseverance. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 to 8 says, so that ye come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Is that what it says or not? It is, isn't it? If that is what it says, then as Jimmy Hayes says, it is not my responsibility to stay safe, but it is my response to his ability to keep me safe. We are not going to depend on ourselves persevering till the end in full obedience to God's commands, as we are sinners who sin. But we are going to depend on the Lord Jesus to confirm us unto the end. What would you choose? Be careful now. Biblical reasons for eternal security. Biblical perseverance and eternal security. And Calvinistic perseverance versus eternal security. Article 6L of the Constitution reads, all who are truly born again are eternally secure, since they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and are kept by the power of God unto salvation. But to be eternally secure, we must be born again. We must be a child of God. All who are truly born again are eternally secure. And John chapter 1 verse 12 states that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the questions I would like to leave with you today are you a child of God? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed on the name of the Son of God? Do you know that you have eternal life? 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. praising my Savior all the day long.